Hey, I'm Gary from Hoops and Cards, and you're listening to the NoOffseason.com Sports Card Content Network. Be sure to subscribe to all of our podcasts, including Sports Card Strategy, Football Card Quest, and my show, Hoops and Cards. We're helping you make money to fund your PC and enjoy the hobby, because there is no off-season.
What's going on, everybody? Paul Hickey here with NoOffseason.com. You are consuming the Sports Card Strategy Show, brought to you by Graybo's Sports Cards. Graybo's Sports Cards is a local hobby shop owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke Denny One Time Dodson, and is located in the Arts District in Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's sports the best selection of raw and graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic and a wide variety of wax. Graybo's breaks on Whatnot and or Drip 5 nights a week. Listeners of Sports Card Strategy can receive a 10% discount from Graybo's on Drip, Whatnot, or their website at graybos.co by entering the code STRATEGY2023. You can follow all of Graybo's news and updates on Instagram at Graybo's_cards. Don't forget to go premium at nooffseason.com. Get your free 30-day trial today to help you build your sports card investment portfolio. We have just launched Sports Card School at nooffseason.com. Check it out at sportscardschool.com. All of the data we use on the Sports Card Strategy Show is from Market Movers. Get a free 14-day trial followed by 20% off for life by using the promo code NoOffseason at marketmoversapp.com today. All right, you're about to enter a Wednesday deep dive with Kendall the Lefty McKee and Connor Barnett, head of content at nooffseason.com. Lefty and Connor, take it away.
Come on. Let's go. That was sick. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good stuff. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of the Sports Card Strategy Deep Dives. I'm here with Lefty McKee, and we are going to be breaking down some of the guidelines and strategies we use to make plays. I'm excited, Lefty. 48-hour check-in from Monday. How we doing, sir?
I'm good, man. Wednesday is here. I will tell you, there is an unfortunate thing. Remember when I told you guys that I went to the Gorge this weekend or I went camping this weekend? I spent some time like in a pool and in the river, and I got a staph infection, Connor. It is bummer, but I'm happy, and I'm ready to talk about some sports cards. So who the heck cares about my staph infection?
Well, good stuff. We wish you a quick and speedy recovery in the staph infection world. We got a lot of good stuff packed in today, some exciting new segments that we've got planned out. But before we go ahead and hop into that, I'm going to do a little bit of live chat love this morning. We got Chad in the chat. Good morning, Chad. We got Brian Steeler 714. Brian, thank you for being here, sir. We got Randy Ferguson. Let's go ahead and hop into things, Lefty. Like I said, we got some exciting segments planned out, some new stuff that we're trying out. And the first one that we're going to be doing is some portfolio building for you guys, where we discuss our ideal mix of cards to build your strategy with. And we kind of subcategorize those into three different pieces, right? So we got our flyers, our heroes, and our goats. And those are sorted in order of most risky to least risky, right? So the flyers are going to be the riskiest, but the highest upside. Not necessarily the cheapest, but can be. We've got our heroes, so your star players, those well-known guys that have hype and quicker flips that haven't quite made it to that top tier in the card world. And then we got our goats, which are typically your safer picks, higher buy-ins, and potentially like longer holding periods to see returns, but more stable assets to hold there. What Lefty's going to do is he's going to give you a quick breakdown of what his portfolio is at in terms of those three categories. And discuss where he's trying to be there. So, Lefty, why don't you go ahead and give everyone a breakdown of what you're currently holding and the direction you're looking to go in?
Yeah, this is something that I've been really excited about getting back into. We talked about this, 6 to 8 months ago, or maybe about a year ago, a lot. Like, we would refer to this terminology quite often. And then with the way that our show went with adding more people and all this kind of stuff, we were like, okay, that needs to be something that is in our vernacular, but is not necessarily something we talk about every day. But so we're going to cover this on the deep dive shows about Flyers, Heroes, and Goats. We really need to look at our portfolios if we're truly trying to make money in sports cards the same we would as a traditional investment portfolio. We need to have some high-risk sections. We need to have some low-risk sections. We need to have some stable assets versus some that we really feel like could pop off in the long term. And the same thing is for Heroes, Goats, and Flyers. Flyers, like you said, would be probably on the cheaper side, but definitely the quicker flips, the stuff that is where we are needing something else to happen before this card is really in the green. The Heroes would be guys that are currently playing that are in almost a can't miss investment unless there's something that to have to do with a scandal or something that have to do with an injury or something like that. That would be the only way a Hero could potentially just go down. And then we got the Goats is people that are like it's sports card gold. Like these are going to be guys that are going to go for a long time and might have markers in the future, but maybe not. It might just be a set it and forget it type thing. So the portfolio range that I like to talk about, which is what we're trying to get to, and is where we have 60% is where I want our Heroes to be. That's something that I want to have place. This is obviously workable in the future, but this is where I'm at right now. I want to have 60% in the Heroes, which is the middle category. And I want to be able to move in and out of guys that are going to have big wins, safer wins in the next 6 to 12 months. And then I want to have a 10% or actually probably about a 15% goat stash. That way that if anything particularly happens in my own personal life, I can kind of cash those in at any point. So that's kind of like a safe investment. And then on the flyer side, I want to have 60, 75. So 25% of our investment is in flyers. That's for me because I particularly have a high risk tolerance. And I'm sure Paul would feel completely differently. I'm sure he would say, you know, less on the goats and then less on the flyers and almost all heroes, because he can flip them very fast. When you look at Chad's portfolio, he has way more goats than I have in his collection and in his portfolio, because he's trying to level up to be able to buy the big goat cards. So that's how my breakdown is. Now, currently, I want to have a 60-15, 25, but right now I don't have a 60-50, 25, Connor. So I don't know if you want to break down that a little bit.
Yeah, let's hop into it real quick. I'm going to give them an overview of where your percentages are. Then you can talk about some of the cards that you've got there. So at the moment for lefty, give me just one second here. At the moment for lefty, it looks like you're trying to get to where, like you just mentioned, Heroes are at 60%. And I think that Heroes can be that interesting middle ground for people investing, especially new collectors, because it's not a crazy upfront cost. And it's not a ton of risk tolerance. It's kind of that sweet spot, and it gives you a lot of upside through the Heroes. So who are some of the Heroes that you have right now? And go ahead and discuss which cards you have for each of them too.
Yeah, for my Heroes, this is for those of you that have listened to the Sports Card Strategy Show for a while at nooffseason.com. These are guys that we talk about quite often. I would say we talk about the Heroes more than we talk about the Goats and the Flyers, because it's people that are moving in and out of a Hero category. A lot of times we bring up guys that start as Flyers and then they end up being Heroes later in their investment. So I have guys in this category, like I have a Tyrese Maxey rookie ticket auto variation PSA 10. I have Carlos Alcaraz in this category. I have 3 out of 500 raw net pro Carlos Alcaraz. I have Roki Sasaki in this category. I have several of his PSA 10s before he comes over to play in the MLB. I have two Jackson Holiday Bowman Chrome autos here. So this would include any of the actual autos we have from our investment lists, anything like that. So like I have Jackson Holiday here. I have Jace Young here. I have Kobe Mayo here. I have Jackson Churio here, Roman Anthony here, Xavier Isaac. I also would consider this in our Wimby lots, the lots we're talking about, that is considered in a hero. He's not necessarily a flyer just because of how many transactions there have been in Wimby cards on eBay and other platforms. So I'm willing to put him in heroes cards. And then I also have guys here that like are Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, Fernando Tatis Jr., stuff like that.
Yeah, good stuff there. And the reason that I brought up heroes first, like you're saying, you're about 50% right now, looking to get up towards 60. I think that heroes are potentially something that we don't touch upon quite enough during our Monday show. I think a lot of the times when we are pitching buys, we're talking about our flyers because we already have so many stable heroes in our portfolio, right? So for the flyers, a lot of times I think it's important for the audience to know that we're pitching them during the Monday show as quick flip plays. We give you guys good explanations there. And Lefty, you've got some decent flyers in your portfolio right now. So why don't you break down just a few of those and then we'll keep moving along.
Yeah, currently my flyer portfolio is bigger than I want it to be. I want it to be bigger into the heroes, but I have stuff in here like I mentioned on the show a couple of weeks ago, which is a Dennis Schroeder National Treasure out of 25 BGS. Hoping. Yeah, BGS 8. And I just was like, hey, I'm willing to risk a little bit on. Usually I'd take one NBA player as my flyer every NBA season just to like be able to kind of test myself to say, am I seeing what I'm seeing here? Test my own strategies and my own eye for people that are underbought. Because and so that's kind of what the flyer section is for me. But I have Dennis Schroeder in here. I have I would also put my Chrome lots that we talk about in here. I don't think that the interesting thing to debate would be like, I think the three of us, the guys would all put players of the same name in different categories at times. So I'm going to put our Chrome lots that we're sending to PSA, the thing that Chad talks about a lot. I'm putting that in the flyers perspective because that's, to me, they're not autos and they could potentially sell for less. So I have Isaac Wood and Churio and Anthony. That's why my flyer section is so big right now is I have a ton that need to go off to PSA. I'm also putting Arch Manning here. I know he's got a crazy name, but he hasn't done anything. And then Bronny James. I've just made a significant Bronny James investment this week. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more later in the show. My Sports Illustrated for Kids cards would fit in flyers. I put a Zion Williamson 2019 Prism PSA 10 on there, which is crazy that he's in the flyer section. Owen Casey and other prospects that are further down our list that I have invested in previously that now are flyers because they're going to need a big turnaround.
Yeah, and Lefty, I think you actually do a really solid job of having, like you mentioned, having more flyers in your portfolio right now than you'd like. But I do think that the flyers that you have, even though it's high volume, a lot of those guys are fringe heroes guys, right? Like I think the Chrome first, I would agree that those guys are flyers, but because of the guidelines that we have in place in the, to build the strategies and make the play itself is almost a hero type play because we're so confident in that investment, right? We're waiting on that call up. Similar for things like Bronny James, right? Like you have clear sell markers for these hero guys that you have. So I think that's important for people that are maybe interested in investing heavily in flyers to keep in mind, like having good sell markers kind of mitigates some of that risk, especially if you're confident in them occurring.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I'm not out here investing in Gallinari or something like that. You know, like right. I'm not. I mean, Schroeder is probably the riskiest play that I'm making right now. And I bought one card of him. So it's like, I mean, I bought a big card of his, but still, like, I only bought one, you know. So if I'm going to really risk it on one card, I'm fine if it doesn't work out, you know.
Yeah, good point there. And for me, as I'm getting into the sports card flipping hobby and gaining a deeper understanding, I think that my strategy is going to be to keep a low volume of cards in my portfolio and essentially not one for one, but build until I'm stocked up on goats. Mm-hmm. I just think they have so much value there, and you have more upside in terms of looking for markers if you're able to snipe at good prices. So why don't you talk about some of the goats you have, and then we're going to move on to the next segment after that.
Yeah, I think goats is something that's important to me. As we've talked about a lot, one of my long-term goals is to be able to sell one card and then buy a house with it. You know, like sell a Mickey Mantle 52 and literally take that cash and go buy a house free and clear. You know, like that's a goated move almost. You know, and so to take like a goat card and to be able to put it into the goat house or whatever we want to call it, I want to be able to do that. I think that'd be such a cool thing to build my portfolio enough to have 200-300K down on a house. Like that would just be so cool for me. But the goats are definitely higher value. Now I don't have any cards that are very close to that right now, but I have cards that are way more valuable than I had 2 years ago. And I think that's the point, is we're leveling up here. You know, like if you guys have been around from the beginning, you know, I think about like Greeny Green and Toa and stuff like that. These we were like buying dollar cards and flipping them for $10. You know, now you've been able to level up with Paul and I. And as Chad came in and really gave us a next step in the next into the next realm, our goat cards have been able to grow. So I have my famous goat card that I bought at the National last year is I have a Messi 2004 PSA 8 Mundi Chrome, which is I bought it for about $800. And then earlier this year, it got to about $1,200 when he was winning all his tournaments. And then the last sale, I think, was like $700. I'm not worried about that card being less than I bought it for. It's a pre-rookie card of Messi. Like that's almost as safe of an investment as you can get, especially for a guy still playing. I also love the 2001 Tiger Woods upper deck card. I've talked about that quite a bit. I have one PSA 10 upper deck Tiger Woods, and then I have three raw cards. Actually two of them are at PSA right now. I have a 68 Mantle raw. I have a Nolan Ryan rookie second and a second year card raw. Shout out to Chad. I know you love Nolan Ryan. I have a Holland PSA 10 tops 2009 finest UCL card. Holland is still young and is still like hasn't really competed for his top end, but I would still put him in the GOAT category because of the things he's already accomplished. I mean, he scored two goals for Man City yesterday. I mean, he's just a beast. I also put Max Verstappen up there. So I have a Max Verstappen PSA 10 2020 tops chrome. I have a Shohei Ohtani rookie card tops raw. And then I also have a Pulisic Immaculate Auto out of 10 national team kit.
Yeah, great stuff there, Lefty. And I think when we're looking at buying, when we're looking at those three categories, especially for someone that's a newer flipper like myself, I think like my voice of reason here is hopefully to help people that are newer to the hobby so they can learn as I do. I think that it can be difficult trying to build out your portfolio of a decent allocation of each of these categories with the amount of vast cards out there, right? Mm-hmm. Like every player that's every rookie now has tens and tens of cards. So mm-hmm. I think it can be difficult. So what I did is I picked some cards from each category that I thought were kind of fringe plays in terms of smart investments. So I'm going to go ahead and pitch those to you. And I'm curious to see if you think they belong in the same category and if you think it's a good investment going forward.
All right, let's hear it.
So for Flyers, we're going to kick it off with Blazers guard Anfernee Simons. He's an absolute bucket getter. He has been out since he played the first game, played pretty decent, and then he has missed the rest of the year so far. But I picked his 2018 Prism Base PSA 10. It's down 37% the last 14 days. He's been off to a slow start, but that card has shown upside of $100 over the last couple of years. So where are you feeling on Anfernee Simons right now?
You know, I'm actually a huge fan of Anfernee Simons, and I'm really bummed that he got hurt early in the season, out probably six weeks. And to see him on that Blazers bench with his, like, arm, you know, like, immobilized, giving Sharp an absolute run at being, like, the guy on this Trailblazers team. I think the Trailblazers have been interesting. They're a team that I wanted to invest in last year. I took some flyers on Dame Lillard cards because I thought they would have traded him midseason, and they ended up not doing that. But then Lillard did end up moving to the Bucks. And I, when that happened, I was so excited because I was like, all right, Anfernee is going to get volume. And he is a volume shooter. I mean, he will put it up. And I like his investing cards. But like right now, his silver is $86.99 at projected, and it's down 30% in the last 30 days. That's probably because of the injury. And I like him long term. I think he is an absolute bucket getter, and he will have nights that he scores 30, 40 points, maybe even more than that. And so I think he will fill that role. I think he's going to be where the Trailblazers go from here. And he's going to get plenty of opportunities in that lineup. So I think it's a great flyer pick. I think you could really do a lot worse, especially picking a guy who's injured, picking a guy who has a lot of upside, clear markers, a lot of volume. He's going to have his usage rate has never been higher, and is going to continue to go up. He's got stars on his team that can help him really just become who he is. And I really think that Billups will help him be a better player in long term. And so I think he's in a really good situation. Now, the only thing that I think hurts him is that he plays for the Trailblazers. And like if he was on the Knicks or somebody like that with a huge market, I think his cards would pop off a lot faster. But that doesn't necessarily hurt us because eventually a guy will be worth what people are looking at. So,
yeah, I agree with all of that. And I think the Chauncey Billups point was a great point there. That kind of mentorship that he'll get from Chauncey with these young stars alongside Scoot Henderson and guys like Shaedon Sharpe. I think it might take him a little bit to learn how to win. So to kind of compound on my question for you a little bit, I think for him to, for long-term flipping for him, I don't know if it's a great play right now because we, like you're saying, we'd need the Blazers organization to kind of turn it around a little bit. So would we just be looking in terms of sell markers? Would we just be looking for explosive performances upon return? Is that enough to kind of spike his value and get him listed?
I think so. I think from what I've seen in the NBA is markers of game experience are what really is vaulting people's performances. And then also when they make the playoffs, the percentage possibility that player could be a young performer in the finals also pops him off. Now that's not necessarily Simons where he's at right now, but that's what the Maxi pop off went off last year. Like people were like, could he be the young star that becomes a household name if the Sixers make the finals? And the answer was yes, if the Sixers were to make the finals. And so everybody just started investing in Maxi like crazy because they wanted to be in on him first. So what's up, Shoes? Good morning.
Good stuff there. Good morning, Shoes. We're not trying to sneak it past you, brother, but we're very happy to have you here this morning. Let's go ahead and hop into my next one. I'm going to transition over to the NFL a little bit. We've had a lot of injuries at the quarterback position, a lot of benchings, a lot of different changes. So my next pick that I think is kind of a fringe guy in terms of good investment, but definitely a flyer, is Desmond Ridder. He's recently been benched. I believe it's for Taylor Heinicke. But his 2022 Prism Silver is down 60% the last 14 days. It's a relatively liquid card. I think it's traded in double digits over the last 30 days. The question is that a good play? Do we think he can be stick really as a starting quarterback in the NFL for long term? And what would his sell markers be if it is even a good play?
Yeah, Desmond Ridder makes me nervous. I think he was going to come in, and I really liked the possibility of him just grabbing the Atlanta job and just going for it. But losing his job to Heinicke makes me really nervous. It probably means that they're essentially going to look for another avenue going forward. Unless they're just benching him for a couple games and then he comes back and retakes it, I really think that this is probably a pass for me. I'm big on investing in quarterbacks, and Prism Silver PSA 10 is the card that I would invest in. I mean, but it's only down 43%, and he's been bad. You know, there's $144 average on a PSA 10 Desmond Ridder silver auto. I don't love that play. It's probably a play that I would stay away from. But down 60% in the last 14 days, it is a liquid card. I could see why people would make that risk, and it does fit in a risky flyer scenario. But I am not invested enough in quarterbacks to be confident in Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a risky one there. But as we try to transition outside of being as risky, let's take a look at some heroes, and we're going to stick in the quarterback realm. Justin Herbert, Chargers quarterback, has been a little, I'd say, playing under the weather this year for me. The last couple of weeks, he hasn't looked super strong. And his 2020 Optic Holo in PSA 10 is down 23.1%. It's also a super liquid card. It's traded over 20 times in just the last 14 days alone. Do you think this is a good time to buy Herbert? Are we still kind of seeing that midseason lull in the football sports card realm? And can Herbert make the jump towards becoming a GOAT?
I think he has it in him to be able to make the jump, and he has the offensive coordinator. I mean, we talked about Billups for Simon, and we have the guy that was on the Cowboys who scored a ton of points that the Cowboys literally let go because he was scoring too much. So, which is so crazy.
Kellen Moore, right?
Yeah, Kellen Moore. Yeah, so Kellen Moore out there as his offensive coordinator is going to give him plenty of run, but I'm nervous about the deep ball production from Herbert. If you see throws over the middle, he looks really, really good. If you see deep throws like along the sideline, it's skeptical. I mean, there was like an incredible catch by Keenan Allen last on Monday night, I think, or Sunday night. And
Monday night, yep.
He was wide open, Connor. I mean, wide open. And he almost overthrew him on like a 20-yarder. I mean, it was like, it seems like his deep ball accuracy needs to really be honed in for him to be able to be to really push to that next level. And his prices are baked in already. I mean, like, people are huge on Justin Herbert. I mean, we talk about card darlings in the hobby sometimes, where guys get more trade and more run than they probably should based on their performance. I would put Herbert as one of the top five card darlings. I mean, people trade Herbert like he's Joe Burrow, and he's not. I mean, he hasn't done playoffs like performances. He hasn't been clutch in games. I mean, Herbert in my eyes is in the same like level as Lawrence, and people put like Herbert like way above Lawrence. And so, and Lawrence actually hasn't really played up to his standards yet either. Mac Jones and Lawrence have a lot of the same numbers, Connor, which is not something you want to hear. So Lawrence just has a better PR. Lawrence is Mac Jones with a better PR team, unfortunately, right now. So that is even scary to say personally, but his stats are fairly similar. But I would say that Justin Herbert would be a hold for me because I want it to come down more, because there's already this is an investment class that people already have a ton of funds already in. So they're not going to come down on good deals. They're gonna probably have to be losing money for you to get a good deal on a card. And usually I like to buy players that like you have a significant amount of profit from the seller's standpoint, that you, because if they're profiting, typically they're not going to be super greedy and they'll be like, oh, I'm going to profit $100 instead of $120. So they'll give you a deal on it. You know, like with this, they're going to be like, oh, I'm going to be losing $200 rather than, you know, $150. No way. I don't want to lose an extra $50. So it's an investment class coming down, and I don't like to invest on investment classes coming down unless they've hit rock bottom. So I'm gonna hold on Justin Herbert.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff there, Lefty. And I love the points you made about him struggling with the long ball. I think that's something that he needs to develop. To take things to the next level. At the beginning of his career, I really felt like they weren't letting him air it out. And then I started realizing they're not letting him air it out because he might not be able to air it out at the level of GOATs like Patrick Mahomes and previously Tom Brady. So
when they weren't letting him air it out, you were like, dude, he's got Keenan Allen on there. He's got Williams who can just blow by anybody. Why are they not letting him just throw the ball? And now you're realizing like, oh, because when he throws the ball, it might end up in the middle of the field instead of back shoulder, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think so too. And I love the point you made about him, maybe in general, his card market being a little overvaluated. Yeah. So like this 23.1% dip, it still might not be enough to make a good investment there. So I love where your head's at there, Lefty. But a guy that I think is pretty close to becoming a GOAT, probably within the next 2 or 3 years, especially if he can secure a ring, would be Jason Tatum, Celtics guard slash forward. I think he's been elite since he entered the league. He had a little bit of efficiency issues early on, but I think he's kind of worked that out and learned how to get to his spots a little bit better and continue to mesh well with Jaylen Brown. And the card that I'd be looking at for him would be his 2017 Optic Holo PSA 10. This card isn't necessarily at a discount right now. It's up, I think, give me 1 second. It's up just about 2% over the last 30 days. So you can pick this one up for about $350. But I think there are a lot of good intangibles that this card has, right? So it's sold 12 times over the last 30 days, meaning that when that sell marker comes, you're going to be able to move it. It's got upside. If you look at the 365-day data of this card, it spiked over $600 twice. So I think sitting at $355 right now might be a decent buy point for Tatum, especially if we think the Celtics can make a push in this year's playoffs. They're not super deep, but it looks like Kristaps Porzingis is a great fit for them at the moment. And if they can lock things down on defense and maybe pick up a bench piece before the trade deadline, that they could be in a good spot. So where are you on Jason Tatum and his Optic Holo?
Yeah, So several of my best friends are Celtics fans. And so I have done my fair share of ragging on the Celtics just from my buddies. Yeah, you know, like having your buddies be a fan of a particular team almost makes you a villain of that team. You know what I'm saying? Like you're just like, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure my buddies are just so shout out to Peyton. He's a real one, a real Celtics fan. But what I think for Jason Tatum is, this is my honest assessment of Jason Tatum. I think he is a superstar in the regular season and he doesn't have a clutch factor and he disappears in big games. So there are games where he will be 40, 50 points, 20, you know, 10 assists, 10 rebounds. I mean, he has that in him to be a triple double king. You know, he is a great player out of a great school, mind you. And so this is, it has everything in him to be able to get to that next level and to be, I mean, he has everything in him to get to a hero, you know, but he's missing the ship.
To get to a GOAT, right? Like, we think he's a hero right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sorry. Yes, to get to a GOAT, he's just missing the ship. And so, and I'm not sure if he's going to get it, man. I'll be honest. Like, this Celtics team, they should have already had one, I think. Last year, I think, was their time, and they did not show up. The year before that, they had the Golden State where they wanted them with injured Golden State, and then they still let that one slip. I mean, it was just like, they've had their chance, and it's so hard to win perennially. Like, it's so hard, Connor. And for him to be able to get back up there again is just tough. And so I would be okay if you invested in Tatum because I understand it. But I think long term, I'm scared of Jason Tatum. And I'm scared of people figuring out that he's not who we think he is. And he could surprise me. And I'm willing to be okay with that. You know, there was a couple years ago we did the gauntlet, and I said Jason Tatum this year is the guy that I would invest in. And Paul was like, "No way, I would not take him over." You know, a couple other dudes like Steph Curry and stuff. And then at the end of the postseason, Jason Tatum's cards were the ones that were the most valuable. So I ended up making that call. But that season, I watched Jason Tatum so much that I was like, I see holes in his game. And he hasn't really improved them. And I'm just not sure he has that killer instinct in him. I'm not sure he has the Kobe in him. I think he kind of has Durant in him, which there you can just let that ride. So,
yeah, a lot of good stuff there, Lefty. The only thing that I'm going to argue you with a little bit is that I think for some guys, and I agree with the instinct for sure, I think for some guys it takes a while to learn, right? And if you look at the group core of the Celtics.
How old is he?
I believe he's 26, 25 or 26. I think this is year maybe six for him in the league, which I mean, obviously he's not young. He's not fresh anymore, but I think with him and Jaylen Brown both coming into the league so young and kind of having moving pieces over the years, right? They've had Kyrie, they've had Kemba. Al Horford's been in and out. Kristaps Porzingis has been at it. I think it's just going to take them a second longer to kind of continue to mesh and learn how to win. I think that's a massive factor there. So
25.
He's getting up there a little bit. I think he entered the league when he was 18, right? So
I mean, he has the body, though. Like, he has it there.
The intangibles are there, definitely, definitely. Two things I wanted to add. One, we might need to add a segment of Lefty's vocabulary. I don't even think I can say perennially correctly. So good stuff there, Lefty. And then number two, if we're fading slash holding that Tatum play, and I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit right here. Is there another guy kind of in that hero section in the NBA for people that want to invest in basketball cards that you think would be a good play?
Let me think.
And I can toss a couple names at you if that would help. Just because
there,
I think
there is a guy whose market is way under what I think it should be. And I'll look at his, let me look up his Optic Holo real quick just for comparison.
Sure.
Or it doesn't really have one.
And I'm just asking because I think that there are it's like this for every sport, obviously, but I think there's a lot of guys that I've noticed in the hobby that really just enjoy flipping basketball cards. So,
yeah, I mean, you can. It's so this guy is much older than Tatum. He's 10 years older than Tatum, or 9 years older than Tatum. And it's a guy that if you're going to invest in a guy this season, he's a guy that people love to love and love to hate, which typically is good for a card market. And he's on a team that continually outperforms their investment. I think Jimmy Butler would be a guy that I'd rather invest in than Jason Tatum because his price point is cheaper, but he still has intangibles. He will have the same numbers in some games as Jason Tatum. And he's honestly weirder, which I think helps sometimes.
Yeah,
in
he
card
hits the
market.
Media a lot.
Yeah, and so I could see Jimmy Butler having a better percentage gain at some point in this season than Jason Tatum. The Heat can be a team that can pop off. We've seen that. We've seen Jimmy Butler be able to carry a team. And his team is a lot more healthy than it was last year. So if they get into Eastern Conference semis and stuff like that, Jimmy Butler's cards might be much more percentage gain valuable, much, much higher percentage gain than Jason Tatum's.
Yeah, I think Jimmy's last.
But then again, you're putting me on the spot here, so it's not a great comparison. So
no, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I think Jimmy's got decent sell markers, right? Like he's a dog. Playoff time, he's a dog. You're gonna get some spikes there. Every play.
Like I think they're the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Like I think I would rather have
regular season.
Yeah, I would rather have Jimmy all day in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I think the upside might be a little bit smaller with Butler, but like you're saying, like the playoff time comes, I think you're gonna have clear sell markers, and if he underperforms for any reason there, you're still going to have hype cycles to kind of fall back on there. So I think that's actually a pretty good.
Oh, shoot. I'm wearing his jersey. Let's go with SGA.
SGA. That was the other one I was going to ask you.
Yeah. I mean, that he is a dog, Connor. That dude is a dog. And he's got that scoring gene. He's not the same build as Tatum. So you got to look about his longevity and some stuff like that. You know, like Tatum's built to be like the LeBron James build, you know, like they compared him right, coming out of school, how they had the same body. But SGA has continually looked at people and said, oh, you don't think I can play? Oh, you don't think I can do this? Oh, you don't think I can be an all-star? Oh, you don't think I can fight for an MVP spot? Like, I am so thrilled that SGA is on my team. You know, like my team has SGA. And I think like if he was, for some reason, there is like this big move towards centers and power forwards and big, huge dudes that can shoot being MVPs. I'm ready for it to go back to the guard that is just explosive. And I think SGA is that guard. So,
yeah, I agree with you there. I think he's a good investment. Let's go ahead and talk goats real quick. We'll try to fly through this one a little bit quicker. First one I got for you is Shohei. I know we don't typically invest in baseball cards for guys that have already been called up slash non prospects, but with Shohei's injury, potential trade, we got a lot of different sell markers. So is 2018 Topps Chrome pitching in PSA 10? Is Shohei a GOAT in the card market? And what do you think about his Topps Chrome pitching?
Yeah, I think Shohei's a GOAT. I have him in the when we talked about our GOAT portfolios earlier, I put my cards of Shohei's in the GOAT portfolio. I think he's a great investment. I think if I had more money to throw around, I'd be deeper in Shohei right now. You know, I just think him and Yamamoto coming over together potentially, and like Shohei's going to sign for the most ridiculous contract ever. His expectations have been high, and he's been able to meet those expectations already. So I'm not worried about him meeting expectations in the future. Like, the guy still is just cool as a cucumber out there on the mound, just freaking dominating people, and then gets in the batter's box and smiles and says sorry when he hits home runs to people. Like, he's such a likable dude. And to watch him in the playoffs, Connor, with whatever team he ends up going to, thank God. I'm so glad that he's leaving the Angels, because as a Rangers fan, like, I hate watching the Angels. And now, but I love watching Shohei. Like, I told my wife last night, I said, if he ends up signing with the Rangers, I'm buying a jersey immediately, because he's my favorite player in the MLB. Like, he's my favorite player to watch. And I've watched so many Angels games because of Shohei Ohtani, and I don't have to do that anymore. So, yes, Shohei Ohtani, especially his 2018. Pitching or hitting, I don't see a huge discrepancy between the two. Typically, pitcher's cards don't do well in market, but Shohei is different because everybody knows that he's not only a pitcher. And yeah, he's already a GOAT for sure.
Cool. Yeah, I think he's a great investment, especially with all the sell markets we have right now, guys. I mean, we have confirmation of a successful surgery. We have a potential trade coming up. He's going to hit 30 to 50 home runs, like you guys mentioned on Monday, every year. He's going to return to pitching in 2025. So if his cards are down and you're able to get him discounted, I think Shohei's a great opportunity for a GOAT investment. The other GOAT that I was bringing up is Patrick Mahomes. His 2017 Donruss base PSA 10 is down 10% the last 30 days. And while that's not a huge number, you can pick this card up right now for less than $900. And it's spiked well above $1,500 several times over the last couple of years. The Chiefs have been off to, I wouldn't say a rocky start, but not as good as you'd expect from them typically. However, I think they'll make a good push in the playoffs. So what do you think about that investment for the 2017 Donruss base PSA 10 for Mahomes?
Yeah, I think Mahomes he's a dude. He continues to do, every time I come up against Patrick Mahomes and people like, and I say something bad about him, he puts it back in my mouth. So I'm going to say, okay, now, am I worried about one thing? Yes, I am worried about potentially Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift breaking up and then that just killing the Chiefs. But eventually this guy's going to have to find more weapons. That's another thing that I'm a little nervous about. You know, like Tyreek Hill left and he was able to still use Kelce. Travis Kelce's there. If Travis Kelce gets hurt or his production stops or something like that, where is he going to go? I mean, Pringle's not the move, you know, like CEH is not the guy over there. You know, like we've right. seen a couple guys come in. Juju came in and didn't really play well. You know, they moved him quickly, you know, like, and so I think Patrick is looking for the kind of guy he can build a ton of chemistry with. And I think that's why Tyreek Hill and I think that's why Travis Kelce have been so good for him, is because those are his guys. It's like Tony Romo and Jason Witten. I mean, that was his dude out there. And I think that they go together. I'm a little bit worried about when they're not together eventually. But I think Patrick Mahomes is good enough to transcend that for sure. And so I would still be buying Patrick Mahomes, Travis Mahomes, whoever that is. Patrick Mahomes, because 10% down in the last 30 days, if you could make a $600 flip when they make the playoffs, that's really good money. So I don't think you could buy, even if he gets hurt, Connor, like I think his prices would be fine.
Yeah, he's just such a stable asset for me because he's the guy in the NFL, right? Like, I don't know that there's another the guy NFL quarterback-wise that really touches Mahomes in his resume. So good call there. That's going to wrap it up for me in terms of my questions from Flyers, Heroes, and GOATs. But what I do want to do is transition into your path to profit right now. So we're going to go ahead. This is going to be a weekly segment where Lefty describes a play that he's making. So Lefty, go ahead and break down what you're doing right now to create and crystallize some profits.
Yo, I talked about this a little bit earlier, but I'm investing in Bronny James right now. I have been taking the 2023 Topps Chrome McDonald's All-American cards, and I've been buying them, and then I'm sending them to PSA. That's the flip that I'm making. I understand the risk, which is why he's still in the flyer section for me. You know, Bronny James has had this heart issue, and they told us this week how Friday is a big day for Bronny James. Friday of this week is when they're going to find out where his heart's at now. And assuming LeBron said if all things point to what they expect, he will play this year with USC. And I love that. And I actually, maybe I'm thinking with, or I'm looking at this with rose-colored glasses here, but like, I just can't see a road around LeBron James not having a son in the NBA. Like, you know, like Bronny James could literally be like, yes, I am finding them on eBay. There's a bunch of them. What I've been doing is I have bought, this is a blue out of 150 refractor. Here's a regular refractor. Here is like his stock image. This one is, I'm not a fan of that one, but I bought it because it came with a lot. And I've got two more shooting refractors. So I'm looking to collect a good number of these, especially the numbered parallels, and just see what happens. I've spent about $200 on this, or about $300 on this flyer play, which is, a significant play for a lot, for many people. But it was a percentage play for me that I felt comfortable with, especially coming off some big Wimby profits, to be able to put it into something that is a little more risky. Topps has just announced a dual autograph with Bronny and LeBron, and Bronny's in a USC jersey. I did not know that before I started buying these cards, which makes this investment a little bit riskier because he is in a USC jersey in those. But I think that card is going to be so freaking expensive with Bronny James and LeBron James autographs on there together that I don't know if it's going to be obtainable for the larger market. And then I think a lot of people will be investing in these McDonald's All-American cards. And I was able to get into them for good prices. So my timeline is 9 months on this. That is sending into PSA, and assuming Bronny finishes the season in a USC jersey and he ends up going in the NBA draft, that would be where my sell marker would be for him. And then Bronny, like I said, big news on Friday. I'll know whether my investment was a bad idea on Friday if he ends up, if he ends up out there where he can't play basketball anymore, then that's gonna be a flop for me. But
that's tough. Yeah,
yeah.
I like the Bronny play. It's a similar play to like the Arch Manning play for me. I don't know if Bronny has that talent necessarily to take it to being an elite NBA prospect or draft pick. Just because I think he's a little undersized, right? I think he actually has a lot of the same intangibles that LeBron has in terms of playmaking, court awareness, ability to create his own shot. But he's 6'2". I don't care what they list him at. It might be 6'4". He's not. He's like 6'1 or 6'2". And he's got those intangibles. He's going to play well. I think he'll be a pretty solid college player because he makes the right plays and he plays basketball the right way. So Leffy, I think even if he doesn't pan out as going straight to the draft, you're going to have sell markers through strong performances. Maybe not this season. But potentially even at the end of the season, right? So
I think it's a good play. If he doesn't play, Connor, I'm going to be so sad.
Yeah, it might turn into a longer hold for you if he doesn't play. But I think when he does play, he's going to earn his keep there. And it's going to be very difficult for a head coach of any university to not play the son of LeBron James if he's cleared, right? So
that's so true.
That's a tough move there. I love the play from you. We'll keep things rolling here. And we're going to go into another segment called Invest/Fade. For those of you that have been keeping up with the show for a while, this is pretty similar to the gauntlet, right? So I'm going to pitch two cards for Lefty. He's essentially going to pick one and fade the other. And Lefty, I've got a little bit of information for you so you don't have to have everything pulled up on Market Movers, which is what we use exclusively to find all of this data/data. So make sure to check out Market Movers and use our promo code there.
Data/data.
I use it differently every day, so I just wanted to appease the entire audience there.
Man is so generous to our community. He's going to let you, he's going to say both so that you don't get triggered on the one you use.
Just in case, man. We got to make sure we got audience retention.
Connor's for the people, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely. I'm the voice of the people. My first semi-gauntlet slash investor fade for you is going to be SGA, who we previously talked about, his Prism Silver. This is a guy that we pitched, and the reason I'm comparing these two, this is a guy that we pitched, Paul specifically, and I think you and Chad both agreed, before the NBA season, really before that sell cycle, if you wanted to sell based on NBA hype cycle starting, as someone that's just a lock for an investment in creating profits. And I still like this option. It's up 15% over the last 60-ish days, so you're not getting quite the discount, but the last sale is $524, and the upside is above $1,000, and I think it's hit it multiple times over the last couple of years. We talked about how much we like SGA. So that card is going to be head-to-head against James Wood's 2022 Bowman Chrome First Prospect Auto. Now, the last sale on this was $400, but I think it was a bit of an anomaly. It's typically in that 250 range for Wood, I believe. So we're going to pit two of these James Wood Bowman Chrome First Prospect Autos against one SGA Prism Silver. And the reason I picked these two is because we both pitched them as clear sell markers and having like a stable asset that's going to give you profits.
Yeah, this one's hard too, because you're pitching against one of my top three baseball card investments at nooffseason.com versus the basketball player I love more than anyone else, probably. Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, are you willing to do...
You gotta die somewhere here.
Oh man, Connor. He's for the people, but he's not for me, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see. Oh man. I'm gonna choose SGA. Here's why. He's been there and he's done that. And he's showing that he can be the best at the top level. James Wood has not made the pros yet. And I'm going to take the more for sure investment. Like, for instance, on the bottom end, SGA's cards is going to hold a more stable floor than James Wood's floor would be. And so my risk tolerance would not have to be as high, I don't think, with SGA.
I like it. I think that's a good answer there. I think that SGA is kind of that established guy, right? Like we were saying, it's flyer versus hero. And the Thunder are building something special, in my opinion, with youth that's learning how to win young. I talked about that earlier. I think it's just such a valuable factor in the NBA. You can have all the talent in the world, like we see with the 76ers right now, but until you learn to win as a cohesive unit, it's going to be hard to take it to that next step. And I think Shea's cards could skyrocket if the Thunder do take it to that next step. So I love the feedback there. In terms of the second matchup that we've got for today, we're going to go quarterback v quarterback here. And we're going to go a little bit different volumes. So we talked about Mahomes earlier. We're going to take one Patrick Mahomes Optic Holo PSA 10. Last sale was 1.8K, but it is down 20% the last 60 days and has upside over $6,000, which it hit back in 2021. Now, that might not be a number that we see happen again, but I do think that it still has a pretty significant upside. So one of those Patrick Mahomes Optic Holos versus 10 of the Joey B 2020 Select Concourse Silver in PSA 10. Those are going for about $174, so it's a pretty head-on comp in terms of pricing. But that card's down 65% over the last 30 days. Where are you thinking about investing in terms of Burrow versus Mahomes?
Man, I think this would be so much easier for me if it wasn't a Select card. For some reason, Connor, I hate Select cards. I don't like the way they look. Like Chase Krim, our friends over at Texas Road Show, he always makes fun of me because I'm like, he'll have like an awesome card. And he's like, hey, this is a great deal. Do you want to buy this for me? And I'm like, nah, dude, it's Select. And he's like, dude, it's you're going to make so much money on this. I'm like, nah, I'm just not interested in having a Select card. And that's just where I'm going to be. And so Oh, man, I want to pick Joe Burrow so bad, especially because that 65.2% down.
It's a good number.
Like, that's so juicy, Connor.
Card was going for 350 plus just a few weeks ago. Well, a couple months ago, I should say.
So 150 times, I mean, $1,500. But the upside for the Patrick Mahomes is way higher than $1,500. I'll take Patrick.
Okay.
He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT.
It's just an easier play for you, right? Like, you only have to consider one card. So yeah. I think for a lot of people that are busy throughout their days. And this really is just a side. Like, I think that for, especially for you, Chad and Paul, you guys kind of have carved out the time into your daily lives to make this a priority, which with good reason. You guys make good money and you guys have a lot of W's. But I think for a lot of people in the hobby, they might not have the time. So for me, my pick there would definitely be Mahomes, because then I only have to worry about one thing. I'm looking at one marker, and I only have to ship out one card. It's just a lot easier for me there. So I agree with you. I'm going with Mahomes for our number two. And then rounding off our invest or fade segment, we're going to hop into your baseball card realm. And I'm assuming that this matchup is going to be an absolute softball for you, that you're going to hit with exit velo of about 108. So we're going with Ellie De La Cruz, 2022 Bowman Chrome First Prospect Sapphire Edition PSA 10. It is down 44%. Last sale I saw was just $140. We've talked about Ellie a little bit in terms of uncertainties for making plays on him at the moment. So we're going to pit that against Jace Young's 2022 Bowman Draft Chrome First Prospect Auto.
Wow.
Really? I thought this one would be a lock for you.
No, it actually, there's a lot more that I have to think about here. Jace just doesn't have the market that Ellie has. Like, I'm thinking about the liquidity of Ellie. Okay. And I live in Lexington. And everybody's a Reds fan. His Sapphire First is really appealing. But
it is, but we just have that, lock in Young, right? It's a lock. Whereas we've seen Ellie struggle for, he struggled for a significant period of time after being lights out at an astronomical level entering the season. So
I know,
or entering his debut.
This is, so what this really is, Connor. So breaking down this for the rest of my audience, I think 85% of other people in the card community would smash the Ellie De La Cruz here.
Right.
And I'm going to be the opposite 15% that's going to say, maybe we've seen our day with Ellie. And we haven't seen our day with Jace Young. Nobody even knows who he is, really. And so I'm going to pick Jace Young on the principle that I believe that my formula and our process works. Like, I'm going to say in a year's time, you will see better gains from Jace Young than you would from that Ellie De La Cruz card. And that seems astronomical right now. That seems asinine at the point right now. But it's just, I really believe in our system, Connor. I really do. And nobody wanted to invest in Indy Rodriguez when we did. And it worked out. So,
yeah, I think it's a great contingency. And for me, I thought that it was going to be Jace Young off the rip for you. And the reason that I say that is because the conversations that we've had about Ellie, there's just so much uncertainty there, right? And our whole process for baseball cards is getting those cards listed upon the call up. We know he's going to be called up. We know that number is going to go up. If you're worried about missing when he gets called up, just go ahead and text sports cards to 1-833-992-5727. That is sports cards to 1-833-992-5727. And we will have those alerts for you ready to roll. We've got our prospect list over at nooffseason.com for all those guys if you want to invest in similar players at different price points. So good stuff there on the feedback for me, Lefty. And with that, we're going to transition into another segment that we like to call the 1K Budget Builder. Give me a second to catch my breath because I have been talking a lot.
Oh, that's okay.
This one's an exciting segment for me. Especially, yeah. And I say it all the time, especially as someone that's new to the hobby, trying to build my portfolio without unlimited funds. So what we're doing today, for those of you listening, we're going to try to make this as clear as possible. It'll probably be a little bit easier to follow if you're watching. But we welcome your feedback on the segment, obviously. So here, myself and Lefty both have a separate budget of $1,000. And the objective is for us to spend that $1,000 each episode on cards that me and Lefty are bringing to the table. We're both picking three cards from each category: Flyer, Hero, and Goat. Low, mid, tier, high tier, same thing. Not necessarily same thing, but for this exercise, right? And the goal is to make a profit within a 6 to 12 month window. And I will be keeping up and tracking all of our plays week to week to see who ends up profiting the highest. Spoiler alert, it's likely going to be Lefty, but let's go ahead and roll through our picks. Lefty, I'm going to start with you to go ahead and name off your three picks for this segment.
Yeah, my low end on this is a $12 card, and it's for the fact that this is a low pop count, especially if we are to go into grading this card. I'm going to do a Colt Keith refractor first. It's about $10 to $12 a card. Actually, last night, after I did this, I was like, I'm going to go buy these because I think it's a great idea. I ended up buying 25 of them for $3 a piece, Connor.
Okay, that's a W.
So
that's a W.
Yeah, so I kind of flubbed the numbers here because I actually got it for a third of the price, or a fourth of the price that I thought was going to be here. But I bought 25 of them that I'm going to send out for grading, especially at $3 a piece. A Colt Keith refractor first is definitely a good move. So I don't know if the guy thought they were just regular chromes or what, but he sold me 25 refractor firsts.
What's your second pick here?
My second pick is one that we've talked about commonly, Jackson Churio Sapphire PSA 10. This is a card that has dipped down below $100 in certain areas, and I believe you can find it for around $100 depending on where you're looking. But I think if you're just going to buy on eBay, it's going to be between $130 and $150. I would be willing to buy three here to make around $300-$400. So I'm buying 10 Colt Keith refractor firsts, three Jackson Churio Sapphire PSA 10s. And then do you want me to go into my high-end card?
Yeah, go ahead. We'll go ahead and round off your buys for the week in terms of your $1,000 builder.
Yeah, and then I would have to really look for a good deal on this card because it comes in a little bit over $1,000 based on the actual sale price. But I'm confident that I could get this card underneath probably about $700. And so I would have to buy maybe one or two less Jackson Churio chromes, which I would. I'm going to buy a Jackson Holiday out of $499 raw. So a refractor raw Jackson Holiday auto. Bowman first raw out of $499. So it's his refractor auto is where I'm buying. That's the my first gauntlet here is I would have to find and search for a good deal. But assuming I can get it around $750, $700, which I think I can on Facebook outside of my typical places I buy things, then I'm sitting pretty there.
Yeah, I think this is a great first week of picks for you, Lefty. We've been talking about the baseball strategy. We talk about it all the time, and you're making a clear cut for yourself. You're looking for the same markers for each card, essentially, and you're finding good deals on them. So I think it's a hot start for you in terms of our weekly predictions from the $1,000 builder. Popping into mine, I have a confession to make. I definitely have cheated in week one. My number is just above $1,000. So we're going to have to find a way to penalize me in terms of my upfront.
Mine's investment. Okay. Mine is just above $1,000 too, assuming that we found eBay prices.
I'm way okay. $1,300, but we'll find a way to penalize me for this. Maybe I'll use less next week, but my first pick is Justin Fields 2021 contender rookie ticket auto, which you can pick up for about $150. We've talked about Fields recently as a buy. This is an option that's why I picked it this week. It needs to be bought right now, I think, because Fields is about to return. His return should yield some strong play from him in turn profits, because I think when you look at the numbers that he was putting together right before he got hurt, he had a slow start to the season and then really started picking it up. I think he's like an electric two-way quarterback for me. So that's going to be my first pick there. You can pick it up for about $150. I think that number is going to jump well above $200 once he returns. And you have sell markers like the trade. And if that doesn't pay off, wait for the hype cycle. We got that 6 to 12 month time frame. So my first pick for low end is going to be Justin Fields. In terms of mid-tier, I'm going Tyrese Maxey, 2020 Prism Silver PSA 10. You can pick this one up for about $350. I think ideally I'd be looking to snipe it for just below $300. The James Harden drama that just lingers like a shadow for him everywhere that he goes, has yielded positive results for Tyrese Maxey's trajectory in his career. I love Maxey's game. He's someone that I comp to guys like Terrence Mann, who is an underdeveloped Maxey, and just elite scorers, Tyler Hero, things like that. So picking this up for about $300, right now he's the number two option in Philly, maybe alongside Tobias Harris, but he's the number one guard option for them right now, scoring-wise. And I think he's really going to develop and take things to the next level. He's a smooth scorer. He scores at all three levels. He's going to have clear cell markers through blowout performances and if the 76ers can make a deep run there. So that's my second pick. We're already at $500 heading into my high-end pick, which I'm going with the Giannis 2013 Prism base in PSA 10.
Sick card, though.
Yeah. $750 to pick this one up. It's actually down 7% the last 60 days. To me, there's two serious contenders in the NBA right now, and I'm not afraid to say it. It's the Bucks and it's the Nuggets. The Bucks obviously adding Dame. It looks like they need a little bit of mesh time to figure out how their spacing is going to work, who's going to take all these shots. But when they figure it out, they're not going to be stopped because Dame's going to space the floor way too much for anyone to try to guard Giannis. And I think a Bucks title and Giannis going crazy is going to make that card explode. So it might be even a little bit of a riskier high-end play. Like, I think Giannis is a great investment, but for the profits that I'm looking for, I think it's a little bit riskier of a play. But those are going to be my three. So we're going to keep track of those as we move along throughout the week.
I don't hate it, man.
Show.
I mean, you've got two. Justin Fields, I understand the play, not one I would want to make, but I definitely think that there's markers there that you can look for. Maxey is my guy. Like, I've continually wanted to invest in him. And Giannis he's Giannis. Like, if he could shoot at the ball, Connor, we would be in trouble.
Trouble.
I mean, like, bubble. He does shoot the ball, but if he could shoot the ball, you know what I'm saying? And I just think that this guy, I watched their game against the Knicks last week. It was ugly, Connor. Like, they're not put together yet.
I know.
And Giannis is still trying to be the dude. But honestly, like, in the fourth quarter, they need to give the ball to Lillard.
I agree.
And Giannis needs to go rebound. Like,
just don't be a menace.
Yeah, I mean, he's like trying to bring up the ball and trying to do like the pick and roll stuff. I'm like, dude, you have Lillard. You don't do this anymore. Like,
yeah, they're gonna figure out the spacing, right? And the real critical element for them, those two are gonna figure out their spacing. The critical element for them, to me, is Chris Middleton, because he's learning to take on a much less established role within the franchise. So I think, as long as he's on board and he's playing good defense and he's cool with only taking 8 to 12 shots a game, by the time that they figure out that spacing between the other two, they're going to be a legitimate problem. And it's going to be them or the Nuggets. So that's my pick there. I appreciate the positive feedback, Lefty, and I'm excited to keep track of these results and see where we end up from week to week. But we'll go ahead and transition into our final segment of the week, which is our winner of the week. And this is a new segment as well. So what's going to be happening? I know a lot of you, I think there's a crossover at least for sports bettors in the sports card hobby. I think they cross over well. So each week, I'm going to give you a pick. The goal is to take on as little risk and be as scientifically and stat-based in my analysis here, because I do sports bet quite frequently. Typically what I do is I take player props. So I'm going to break things down pretty elementary style for you, not as an offensive to any of our viewers, but just to give a good breakdown so that moving forward, we have a good baseline for what I'm talking about here. So player props would be pertaining to one specific player from a specific sport, hitting or not hitting a specific stat. So the player that I'm picking for this week is Kyle Kuzma, guard/forward, we'll say wing, who's playing over with Jordan Poole for the Wizards right now. And the prop is that against the Hornets tonight, he's going to take the over of 22.5 points. This means anything 23 points or higher, the bet would hit. Kuzma is averaging 24 points per game through the first seven games on 50% shooting, and he's taking 15 plus shots each game. The Hornets' defensive rating is terrible. They're 27th in the league, and he's going to be guarded by guys like Gordon Hayward and Brandon Miller. Hayward well past his prime, and Brandon Miller, a rookie that's not quite physically developed. So I got Kuzma hitting the over 22.5 points tonight against the Hornets. It's basically even odds. That's what his line is set at. And we'll keep track of these as we go through the weeks as well. And then what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about a correlating sports card play slash advice that Lefty's put together based on my Kyle Kuzma pick for the week.
Yeah. So what we're doing here with Connor's great job of giving us a good winner of the week, a good pick, kind of building our sports betting audience, is giving us a player that he thinks will reach a marker. Well, in the same way, if we're looking at sports cards, it's like, do we believe that Kyle Kuzma is going to hit a marker where his cards are going to be worth investing in? And I don't think so. But I think there is a player that would be a flyer for me on the Wizards that I would continue investing in, and that is Jordan Poole. So my Lefty's correlating sports card play slash advice with explanation would be, not ready to buy into Kuzma, but I do like Jordan Poole. He has buyers from the past, and those people still want his cards. So if he keeps scoring, his value could rise very quickly. And here's what I mean by this, guys. And I actually took my own DNA in consideration here. If there's a guy that in the past 2 or 3 years where it was a card that was really hot, a card that was like really traded to a high degree and was very expensive, and then you can, like, a couple years later, you see that card for way less than it was previously, there's still something inside of me that wants to be like, ooh, I want that card. You know, because like at one time it was the highly acquired card. Jordan Poole was like the card in the hobby for like 2 years. And I still think there are people out there that love the idea of investing in Jordan Poole. He's a very polarizing player. You know, he will put it up. He will put it up. And that's why he's on a different team this year, is because he put it up in the finals when he shouldn't have. But hot take there. But so what I'm going to say is, I think if you're just off of this play, but trying to find a sports card worth investing in on the Wizards, I would invest in a Jordan Poole rookie card.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, me and Paul talked about that before the NBA season started too, as Poole being a good play. Before, I felt like it was like a stable flyer. I do feel like it's a little bit of a riskier flyer, just because I expected him to come into Washington and really dominate. Like, he has he's a guy to me that excels in freedom, and when the Warriors gave him freedom and he underperformed, it was yanked from him, and I think he started playing shy, whereas in Washington, that's such a terrible franchise in the National Basketball Association that I think that he won't necessarily be as scrutinized or punished for exercising his freedoms on that team, but he has underperformed a little bit for me, which I think has helped us actually see a dip in his card. So I like
did you see
there.
His quote about playing with freedom?
I did not.
So he's like, I've already won a championship. He's like, my legacy is solidified. Now I can just go play basketball.
Interesting. So yeah, and, see, to me, that whether I agree with it or not, that should be freeing him up to give me 30 every night, you know?
Yeah. He's like, I don't have, he's like, I've reached my marker. Now I can just go play. He's got money. He's got a ship, you know? So now he's just putting a butt bucket every night. So honestly, Jordan Poole will I believe that he will find his stride.
I think so too. I think we've got Infinity Trader says Jordan Poole's hard to root for at times. Definitely. I agree with you there. But I think if you go for like his Prism Silver or something that's discounted and pretty affordable at the moment, you're going to have the markers, right? Like short term markers. He's going to have plenty of, he already has one 40 point game this year. He's going to have plenty of 40 point games. I can tell you that. And long term, I think he's going to develop into a guy that, with his age, he's a little immature for me. So as he gets older, I think his maturity will develop more. It's funny that I say that at 25 years old, but you know what I mean. So I think it's a good investment for both long term and short term markers. So good pick there, Lefty.
Over the last 30 days, he's down 31.8% on that PSA silver.
Yeah,
the PSA 10 silver.
Yeah, I think it's a good pick. before we wrap things up, Lefty, we're going to hit on some audience Q&A real quick, per usual. Starting with Rusty Imigart. Imigart. I apologize if I pronounce that wrong, Rusty. He wants to know where we're at with Messi. Just wondering, an award in soccer, correct? Sell marker, question mark.
Yeah, he just won his 8th Ballon d'Or, which is the award you get for winning or for being the best soccer player in the world. He just won his 8th, which is insane. They're actually, so the Miami, Inter Miami and I believe New York City FC are doing an exhibition game because they're both out of the playoffs. They're doing an exhibition game this month where they are just celebrating Messi getting his 8th Ballon d'Or. Like, that's the whole point of the game. It's called, like,
it's a parade game.
I mean, it's like a celebrity game, except for they'll be out there. Wow. I don't know. I don't understand it. I think it's kind of weird. But the fact is there will be more markers for Messi. And his cards have fallen because I think people thought he would come in and make a crazy run and have Inter Miami win the MLS when they were down at the very bottom of the MLS when he came in. And he almost did it, honestly. If he hadn't have been injured, if he hadn't got a hamstring injury, I think he would have, Connor. I think he would have. But we're seeing Messi do some incredible things. I still think he's a great investment long term. I think he's actually an even better investment long term than he is in the short term. And I still think you could see wins in the next 6 to 12 months.
Good stuff there. We're going to switch over to your main field of expertise. We're going to talk a little bit of baseball. I'm assuming that's what Infinity Trader is referring to here. Got any big sleeper long hold prospects to keep an eye on?
Yeah, I'll go back to our baseball card rankings and I'll give you some that are further down the list. We talk a lot about Jackson Holliday, James Wood, Jackson Churio, which is our top three. But if you scroll down to the bottom, there's some guys that are real deep. Real deep sleepers that I think could be guys that I'm interested in. Drew Gilbert, he's a guy that is in A ball currently. Him and Ryan Clifford switch teams. I think both of those guys could be guys that I'm interested in on the cheap, just because when you switch teams, you get new life and they're playing very well in the minor leagues. Kevin Alcantara, was really, really hot in the market, but we need to see what he's going to do in Double A. He hasn't made that switch to Double A, and we talk a lot about how Double A is the real marker for where we see a guy is going to be a professional hitter or not. And then let's see, Chase DeLauder. He's a guy that's in the Cleveland Guardians system. He is a guy that I like. I love his profile. And he had an injury earlier this year, and he is a guy that I think could make a really, really big jump in 2024. He hasn't done much in 2023, but he is number 33 on our list for reasons that he could make a giant leap in 2024.
Lovely breakdown there, Lefty. And guys, make sure to check out the baseball rankings over at nooffseason.com. Lefty does a fantastic job every month of updating them accordingly. With the offseason, there's probably going to be a little bit less changes there, but if you're looking for top, mid, and low tier guys to invest in terms of pricing, they're all on the list. You know, we got guys ranging from Jackson Holliday all the way to the names that Lefty just discussed. So be sure to head over to nooffseason.com and take a peek at those. And then we're going to Actually, we'll stay with baseball for a second. Janelle Hsu, do you feel like that some prospects' call-up prices are affected by the team/market they play in? I think that's a great question from Janelle.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, anytime a Dodger prospect is half as good as anyone else, his card prices are way higher than everyone else. I mean, we saw that with Josue De La Pala. I mean, he's very good, but like anytime a Dodger comes out in Bowman Chrome, they're like 16 years old and they've never even like seen a major league or even a professional pitcher. And people are like, yeah, that's $300. Give it to me on the rip. You know? So yes, I do feel like some prospect call up prices are affected by the team and the market they play in. We saw some guys getting called up earlier this year that didn't quite have the same boom. I would have said that would have hurt Cincinnati and Ellie De La Cruz coming up, and that did not hurt Ellie De La Cruz. So, but there were some guys on the Pirates that I think could have had the same kind of explosion, and they didn't get the same market because, you know, they're just not as big of a team. So, yes, it does. That's why I'm very careful about picking guys like on any team historically, like the Marlins, historically, like the Diamondbacks, even though they just made the World Series. Historically, Houston Astros prospects don't do well out in the open market. Historically, Rockies prospects do not sell well. So, yes, it does.
Yeah, good stuff there, Lefty Janelle. We hope that helps answer your question. I think that pretty much every sport that we look in are going to be affected to some degree by the market they play in there. So good feedback there. And then we're going to round off the Q&A with another question from Infinity Trader. Do we think Wembanyama is overpriced? He's excited about his upcoming optics and prism cards. Are we going to wait, or are we sold he's going to be a GOAT?
Connor, I want to hear your analysis on this.
Dude. So
for those of you that don't know, Connor actually very much knows what he's talking about when it comes to basketball. So
here's the problem with this. However, Lefty, here's the problem with this is that I have a little bit of emotion tied to this one, because with my friends, I talk basketball with my friends all day, every day. And one thing that we've been looking for is the next him. And we haven't had him, you know, like, right now, there's so much talent diversified in the league that there's no clear guy coming up. We don't have the LeBron. We don't have the Kobe. The closest thing that we got after Kobe was a continued LeBron and Steph Curry's rise, right? But we don't have that guy. We don't have that dog. We don't have the marketable guy. I want Wembanyama to be that guy so badly that I think my heart's telling me that he just is going to be that guy. If you look, he needs to develop strength, and he needs to develop, I don't mean weight. He needs to develop relative strength, because he needs to be able to use the height when he's down in the paint to score. Right now, even without the strength that he has, people are making business decisions in the paint. I'm not even talking about when he's driving at them. He's just catching. When he catches in the paint, there are guys that are 6'10 making business decisions not to go up because they can't touch it. So I think that's a different type of dominance that we haven't seen in a while. Like, Shaq's dominance was so different, right? It was pure force. His is just length and size. You literally can't contest him. And then you pair that with how well he moves on the perimeter, the one-legged fadeaways, the step-back jumpers, the range that he has. The tools are there. The tools are most certainly there. And he's got Popovich and Tim Duncan as mentors. So I think personally that Wembanyama will be in the GOAT category within the next 5 years or so. I need to see him grow that relative strength. But man, he's averaging what, like 20, this is off the top of my head, but like 20 and 10 almost in his first, you know, 7 or 8 games. So I'm excited to see what we get from him for the rest of the year. And I have fingers crossed every day that he stays healthy and turns into that guy for us.
Yeah, I think he definitely could be that guy. But I too am concerned about the relative strength. His first game in the NBA, he didn't even take a shot inside the 3-point line. You know, so it's like he just couldn't get down there. I mean, he just couldn't do it. He's too weak. And like, yeah, people were just pushing him around. And of course, yeah, he's, you know, what is he, 18 years old or whatever? Mm-hmm. But he is averaging, let's see, his averages are, he's averaging 19, 4, and 8, 4. So he's averaging just under a double-double, just under 20-10. And he didn't play well early in the season. And we've seen his last two games be a better, much better representation. And he's already averaging 3 blocks a game too. Yeah. Like, come on.
So, and he's transitioning from a different league, a completely different play style. So we got to give him some time to settle in. I'm sorry. Sorry. I cut you off there, Lefty.
No, you're exactly right. He was in a league where if he wanted to drive, they were going to respect his game to drive. If he wants to drive in the NBA, he's going to have to earn it. Like, he's going to have to beat somebody off the block and push people around. Like, the American style of basketball is a lot more strength relative than it is finesse. And we just see how European basketball is a lot of finesse, and which is great. And that's why he is the player he is. And it was trained up in the way that he is, which makes him who he is. But I think we saw Giannis adapt. And we saw, if you go look at how skinny Giannis was when he first started in the NBA, he looks like Wembanyama. He also looks like he's about 12. So it's so funny to look at like Giannis rookie cards. You're like, who is that? You know, like Giannis has become a man in the NBA. Yep. And I think as we watch Wemby become a man in the NBA, if he stays healthy, that will be the key marker for him, I think. If he doesn't have lower body issues, I think we will see a GOAT in the making.
Could not agree with you more, Lefty. I think that's going to do with that for us today. You got any closing thoughts for us, Lefty, before we let Paul take it away?
I do have one fun argument that I want to hear from you. A guy asked me this week, in the all-time NBA player rankings, do you rank Shaq or Tim Duncan higher?
It's tough. It's tough. I'm gonna go with Shaq, and it's not stat based necessarily, though I would imagine that Shaq's stats are probably better in terms of efficiency. They both got rings. Shaq did it with Kobe, which for me is awesome. But Shaq, to me, is the most dominant player that we've ever seen in the league. He came out last week and said that for his third ring, or the final ring in LA, he weighed over 400 pounds. He said that. I don't know if that's true, but 7'1", 400 pounds, moving like a gazelle, pushing people out of the way. He's just the most dominant player we've ever seen. I got a ton of respect for Tim Duncan. He was a surgeon. He was fundamental, a surgeon. Used the backboard way too often. Just a great player all around. I got tons of respect for him, and a top two or three or four power forward of all time in my book. But I think Shaq's dominance is something that we won't see repeated in that style ever again.
That was my answer.
Love it.
The guy really wanted to argue like how Shaq moved around so much and all that, and you know, like how he wasn't as likable as Duncan. I was like, are you kidding me, dude? He makes Papa John's commercials.
Yeah, he's turned his life into a complete empire of wealth, which is awesome. He's everywhere. But I love Timmy D too. So that's a great question. And it looks like you got some of the people in the comments fired up as well.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get them fired up before they go in their day.
I love it. I love it. But I think that's going to do that for us today. Lefty, I had a fantastic time on here with you today, brother. And I'm excited to do it again next week. For those of you that listened, please be sure to give some feedback on the segments. We're always looking to improve and provide the most valuable content for you guys that we possibly can. So look forward to hearing from you guys in the comments. And with that, we shall let Paul take it away.
Great job on today's show, Lefty and Connor. Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. Don't forget to get your free 30-day trial today at nooffseason.com to help you build your sports card investment portfolio and take lessons at Sports Card School. Go to sportscardschool.com. Text Sports Cards to 1-833-992-5727 to get your buy alerts and your sell alerts. Text Sports Cards to 1-833-992-5727. That's 1-833-992-5727. Text Sports Cards there to get your buy alerts and sell alerts to crystallize your profits. We would love it if you give us a positive review on Apple or Spotify. Subscribe to the YouTube channel at youtube.com/Paul Hickey and connect with us on Instagram at Sports Card Strategy. Thanks for being part of the nooffseason.com family. Have a great day.